And when saved, I don't know exactly when or how it happened, but I stopped listening to the radio. And I thought, well, why did I do that? But you know, when I'm alone in my car and driving, you know, there's worship coming out of me. I can feel and hear that worship. And I think that's a normal thing that happens. And I hope that's happening to you. And there's nothing wrong with listening to the radio. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, the radio, the love of music got inside of me deeper, much better. I want to share a message, a thought this evening. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, let me share this with you. If we meet certain criteria, we'll hear the voice of God. And you know, God never leads you into failure. He might lead you into trials. He might, terrible trials. But he's not going to, God the Father is not going to lead you into failure. And I think one of the great concerns about people ever since I can remember, including this generation, I think it's worse even now, is that people are afraid to fail. I don't want to fail either. I'm afraid to fail. I don't want to fail. But there's so many things happening now that's different and harder. You've got bullies, cyber bullies, and all kinds of distractions and problems. And you, let me say, Christian, if you're a believer, this message is definitely to you. There are six habits that you have to break if you're going to hear from God. If you have these habits working and active in your life, they're going to hinder what you're hearing, and you may end up hearing something that you thought was God, and you'll find that it wasn't God. That happens. And people that are, I mean, you know it does. You thought, man, I thought this was, and it just wasn't that way. It doesn't have to be that way. If you're a sheep, if you're a child of God, my sheep hear my voice. And then it says, my sheep know my voice. That means they can differentiate from what is true and what is false. Okay? Now, is it easy to get slipped up? I get slipped up sometime. I'll just be honest with you. But you know, I have to work at it. I have to work at my salvation. And I'm going to share these six habits that you have to get under control in your life. The first one is the habit of distraction. Many people, before their feet hit the floor, they've got their phone going. They've got this going. We got people pulling at us one way or the other. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. If we're not seeking God, if there are things that are more important than that, and so what I'm saying is in the morning, my good mornings, man, I'm just up with the Lord saying, what do you want to do? Going through my prayers. Beginning next week, we're gonna start a barn buster deep study into the Lord's Prayer. It is the most powerful prayer in the Bible, because it is in this dispensation, the dispensation of the New Testament with Jesus, and it's powerful. There's nothing in the Old Testament as power as the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to take a deep look at what that actually means. And we're not going to get in a hurry. How many times are we going to hear it? I don't know. Until we get to the end of it. The part, that kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us death and forgive us our trespasses. We forget, so on and so forth. We're going to get to the end of it. We're not going to be in a hurry. But I guarantee you, you're going to love it. I just got a revelation that just this week, a couple of days ago, on that. You know, I found in my life, when I go through trials, and I've gone through some trials lately, some disappointing, tough trials, but you know what? They bring some cool things to my life. And I just accept every day. I don't ever remember one time in my life blaming God for anything that I went through. I don't remember that. That's just not, you know, I just don't do that. I never felt for, when I met Christ and Christ saved me, I never, never spent one moment thinking that God was the reason for my problem in life. And it's just not true. And so I'm going to read a little bit out of Luke chapter 10. You can follow with me. You don't have to. I'm going to start reading at verse 38. And I'm going to share some things with you from here about distractions and what we have to do not to be distracted. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. We'll begin there. Luke chapter 10 and 38. And as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her house. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening as he was teaching. But Martha was distracted. The first thing you have to do is realize when Satan is distracting you, or your flesh is distracting you, or the world is distracting you. Is this a distraction, or is this part of what God wants in your life? Is this going to help me? What is? And you know what? It's that first part of the day or the end of the day that's important, that you give God some alone time. We see the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the King of Kings, stealing away over and over again in the Gospels to be alone with God, his Father. And when whenever he came away from a time like that, powerful things happened. And he said this here: "Now, boys and girls, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. And even greater things than these, because I'm going to go be with the Father. I'm going to be your priest up in heaven at the right hand of God." So Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening, but Martha was distracted. You know, sometimes we think things are so important that really aren't important. And if they're getting into your time with God, that's not God's will. And do you have to have a set time? No, it could be different. You know, it doesn't say, well, he did this at 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, and then he went away. He went away over here. I've gone away just to hear from God on important things. It's an important part of my life to hear from God. Because when I get away from that, and I have, and it's awful, you can get into all kinds of things, just all kinds of problems. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, it doesn't seem fair that my sister is sitting here while I'm doing all the work. Now, tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said, "My dear Martha," now listen to what the Lord said. See, there's got to be time in your life for God if you're a Christian. I mean real time, not making a church service, not saying a prayer out on the way out the door, not listening to a message on your radio. That's not God time. But the Lord said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her." You have got to deal. You have to pray, ask God, study, ask somebody. How do I keep from that, from the problem of distraction? Is it a sin? I don't even want to call it a sin. You know what it is? It's just unlucky. It's just sad when you can't hear from God and you go on and on and on and you go from, see, Satan will take you step one, step two. Which way is he going? He's going down. Step three, he's pulling you down with him. Okay? You have got to savvy up and say, "Man, I cannot sacrifice my alone time. I get up at 3 in the morning. I get up at 4 in the morning. You can call me anytime you want. If I ain't up, I'll be up, and we'll talk and do whatever you want to do. But the first one is distractions. They're deadly to your success as a saved human. Deadly, absolutely deadly. You've got to get a hold of that. 6 habits that you've got to break to hear from God. And you know what? There is nothing more important than, you know, are you hearing from God? Are you making decisions that God said, that's where I want you to go? Because if you're not, I've seen people get so far off base, it shortened their life. They married the wrong person. This went wrong. They got in the wrong business deal. They bought the wrong thing at the wrong time, so on and so forth. The second, we talk about it all the time. It has to do with that cross right up there. Number 2 is unforgiveness. The church cannot afford the luxury of not talking about unforgiveness and forgiveness. Church people, many of them, they have problems forgiving themselves and getting over their mistakes because many times church leaders hold them in bondage and bring them back to that mistake that they made to have control over them. And that's not what the ministry's for, and we don't do that here. We want you to get ahead, and we know how to help you to get ahead, and we're not ashamed to say that. Unforgiveness. Mark 11:25, the words of Jesus, right after he talks about, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, can have anything he says. And then right there, right the next verse, he said, and by the way, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody, so that your Father will forgive you. Because if you won't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And we can search your heart. Is there anybody that you just can't forgive? I mean, just between you and God, not here. We're not going to have an altar call about this. I'm sharing things that will help you, that will bless you, that will correct you and get you where you're supposed to be. The other part of that is people do things and they can't get over what they did. And that's why Satan made them do it in the first place. He wanted them to fail. And in their mind, see, in their mind, the devil comes to them in their mind and talks to them. Well, you're this and you're that. You ain't no Christian, blah, 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 blah. You have got to learn how to shut that stuff off. You're going to be full of something. If I were you, I would do what it says in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. See, do not be conformed to this world. Be not conformed. See, if we're not careful, and the church is doing this in America today, and you know it, and I know it, what is happening? We're conforming to the world. Somebody comes in that's got a problem. Oh, gosh, we can't say nothing about that. Sweetheart, you get around me, I'm going to say something about it. If I can say it in love when the Lord tells me to, I'll speak at the right time. I'm not afraid to speak. If somebody was going to shoot me, I'd tell the truth, I believe. And so don't ask me unless you want to know, because I'll tell you. And there's things I won't talk about because they just are unprofitable. But when you stand praying, forgive, and you have to learn how to forgive yourself. See, because when you're not and you're downtrodden, no, I don't know, I just think I really messed up, and I messed up too much. What you're saying is that cross doesn't mean very much to you. Because that cross is all about one thing. It's about forgiveness. First, second, third. It's about being set free. God loved the world so much, John 3:16, that he gave his best. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17. And the Son of God, you have to hear this. The Son of God was not sent to this church or any church. The Son of God was not sent to the earth to condemn the world, but to save the world. He was sent here to save. And if you're going to be a soul winner, you have to deal with people and minister to the people in that way. You know what God wants you to do, and there's no time for any of us to condemn anybody. For God's sake, let's move on. It's best not to say anything to say the wrong thing. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus said this in the Gospels. It's written in red. I have not come into the world for the righteous. My God. I have not come into the world. Here's the Son of God. He said, I just want everybody to know, I'm not here for the righteous. I've come here to call sinners unto repentance. And you know what the truth of the matter is? We are. When we're born, you're born lost as a goose. And if that doesn't change in your lifetime, we have got, and you know what? If you can't forgive yourself, maybe that has something to do with why you can't forgive others. See, you have got to. When we take this communion week after week, first of every month, when we take this, there is power in what we do. If you know what you're doing, this is power. This is you getting back on course with God Almighty. This is, you know what the word says? If a person would judge themselves, see, judgment ain't bad. Just don't judge your neighbor. Don't judge your enemy. Don't judge your family. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. If a person would judge themselves before they took communion, if they'd be honest with themselves, you know what would happen? God wouldn't have to deal with you. If you're a child of God, He's going to treat you like a child of God, like one of His children. I've raised 5 children. I love them all. They'll all tell you one thing. Pop tried to show us the right way to go. And I'm not saying I was perfect in everything I did, but my heart was. I did the best I could with what I knew at the time. And I didn't even like kids when me and Millie got married. I had my hunting dogs. I had all my projects. Everything I like to do. I still have 1,000 things I like to do. But when Dr. Zadig put Casey in my arms, I became a dad. And one of the favorite things that I have is to be a dad. I love to be a dad. Your kids never get told. I want to hear from them anytime. I got in a car with Kelly the other day and said, tell me all the problems. I'm ready to dump something on me here. But it's distractions. And the second one is an unforgiving heart, is a messed up, demented heart. It defiles Christianity. What do you even go to church for if you ain't going to forgive people? What are you going for if Jesus ain't powerful enough to take that away from you? And when you sulk for years and years, and I've seen them sulk for years and years over the same thing, they never get loose for it, that's not good. All those years, that's when you're saying, well, God, that's nice, but it ain't working for me. Satan's working for me. I'm listening to everything Satan has to say about me. We can't do that. Okay, that's number 2, and it's powerful. You could make it number 1, and you could put it at the end again. Forgiveness and unforgiveness. Forgiveness and unforgiveness. You have got to get that right in your life for yourself and for the people around you. And, you know, when you forgive somebody, a weight lifts off your shoulders. When you allow Christ to forgive you, a weight will come off of your shoulders. Praise God. Let's go on to number 3. In the book of Revelation, I'm just going to read a little bit of it, chapter 3. You can go there with me if you want. I'm doing things a little bit different. I found some new things that really fascinated me about preaching. But I'm going to read you the words of Christ Jesus In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, he's speaking to the church of Laodicea. And I know all the things you do, that you were neither hot or cold. Now you listen to me. This is a problem. I wish that you were one or the other. You're lukewarm. I'm telling you, being lukewarm will get you nowhere. You're either on fire for Christ, or you might as well just be doing something else. Because unless you sell out and you get that inspiration of the Holy Spirit where you're on fire, you're not afraid to pray for anybody. You're not afraid to talk to anybody. The most important happy thing in your life, look at, I've got every kind of a toy a grown man could have. The difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. You know what? Ain't nothing, does it? I went hunting with her brother yesterday. You know what the best part of it was? He's a brother in Christ. We had something to talk about. And man, that just grew in the cab of his truck. And we just fellowshipped. And it was so wonderful. Because ain't nothing like Jesus. Nothing has moved or impressed me like my walk with Christ and the fact that the Creator of all would call me one of his children. There's nothing better than that, y'all. I wish that you were hot or cold. But since you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now that, you know, if in the Greek language, he couldn't be making it more clear. He's saying here, I would rather you being a darn right sinner than to be lukewarm. Because you can save a sinner. But you know, there's a funny thing about people that got, look here. They got one step in, and they got one step out. One step in, one step out. It'll mess your life up. The devil can get in better in that kind of a person. One step in. Well, look, how close was Satan to Eve when he said, did the Lord say that you'll die if you eat that tree? You're not going to die. He's afraid you're going to know as much as him. And she bought that hook, line, and sinker. And she said, I looked at the tree and saw that it was good to eat. And I ate. Then I gave it to my husband. And a funny thing happened. There are five senses. They walked and ruled the garden. They were not in the five senses. That's not what they were doing. But when they did that, they were reduced to being like any animal that works with his five senses. What you could see, hear, feel, taste, or smell. And that's the only way you make your decisions. And you know what? It doesn't work. To make killer great decisions, financial blessing decisions, all the other things, you have got to know the Lord, and you have got to not be lukewarm. Being lukewarm will just mess your life up. You know what? I've lived long enough to see what Jesus meant when he said it. I'm the same way. I'd rather deal with a total heathen than somebody that's just got a little bit, just enough to say, people tell me, you know what? If you ever preach on abortion again, you don't know what we go through. I'll never come back to that church. I said, well, okay, all right. Well, I said, hey, you coming this Sunday? Yeah, I'll be there. I'm preaching on abortion. Because you know what? I'm not for sale. God forbid that I won't share the truth with you at any cost. I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, there's times I might not tell the truth. I might not say anything. But I ain't going to lie for nobody. I've had people at the funeral. One of their loved ones died and said, now, this is what we'd like said. We'd like to do this, this, and this, and talk about how he's in heaven and everything's going to be fine. And I said, well, I knew this person. I don't know. They were total heathens while they were here. I mean, I don't know what they're. I'm not their judge, but I'm not going to say that. And I've had people they get a little salty with me. I said, you know what? I think you got the wrong person. I don't think I can do this. I don't get somebody else. You don't think I said that? I said that a lot of times. You know what? Almost every time people said, well, wait a minute. Go ahead and do it the way you want to do it. Because you know what? I'm not going to preach how dumb and terrible they were, but I'm not going to preach somebody that's, I mean, I'm not even going to go to all of that. I don't even want to go there because I don't want to upset you too much. I just want to keep you awake for the next few minutes. I ain't going to do that. Sorry. I ain't going to do that. I've got to answer to God for what I do. Now, a lot of times I don't say anything to people if they don't ask me. But you know what? If you ask me about any subject, I'm going to tell you about it. But if you don't, there's a good chance I'm not going to. No, the world says the word says don't cast your pearls before swine, and don't give to dogs what belongs to the children, lest they turn on you and strike at you and tear you up. Be careful who you share with. I try to do that. I'm learning to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry, according to James. Now, that was number three, being lukewarm. The next one, I'm going to tell you this will keep you. If you can't believe God, doubt and unbelief. If you're full of doubt and unbelief, I remember there was a woman up here one time, she was in a prayer line, and I said, well, what would you like prayer for? And I said, she told me, and I said, do you believe God can do that? And she said, I don't know. You know, get you some pansy to tell that kind of stuff to. I didn't get here and live this long by accident or because I was weak, okay? I said, what? She said, well, I just come up to see what would happen if I came up here. And I said, well, what's going to happen? I'm not going to pray for you. Well, where do you get that from? Look in the Bible. Jesus asked people, do you believe I can do that? See, when you walk through the door this evening, did you believe that Christ could change your life tonight? I'm behind this pulpit because I believe God can change everybody's life tonight. Help everybody. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying I believe you can get what you need or what you want. I believe that. All right, just sit down. Go coon hunting. And live a life of so doubt and unbelief. Disciples came to Jesus, had a serious problem with a demon-possessed boy. Father told Jesus, your disciples tried to help him, they couldn't help him. He said, is it possible? Jesus said, all things are possible if you can believe. See, can you believe? You know what? You know, the only way you're going to believe, you're going to have to train yourself to believe. You're going to have to train yourself with what the Bible says. And let me tell you something. It's not just for the ministry to know the Bible. It's for everybody in the pew from the front to the back to know the word. I wouldn't trust anybody. Any church, like the faithful Bereans, they went home when Paul was preaching and they searched the scriptures, it says, to see if he was preaching the truth. Okay? So it's doubt and unbelief. Let me just read for a second here. I believe this is where I'd like to be for. Yeah. Dear brothers and sisters, When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that your faith is tested, your endurance, so on and so forth. If anybody lacks wisdom, ask God. Talk to God about it. He will not rebuke you for your asking. But when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. God alone. The part of you that's wanting success in life It's not your lawyer. Some lawyers can win. Some doctors can heal. Your old banker can lend till your pocket's in full. But listen to me. If yours is the case of a sin-stricken soul, for the problems you face, there's only one place to go, and it ain't the doctor. It ain't the lawyer. It's the great physician, Christ himself. That is the truth. Sure is quiet in here. Number five. Six habits you have got to get control of in your life to get a flow going between you and God where you can hear him and he's, you know where he wants you to be. He knows what he wants you to do. You know what he wants you to do. You know where you're supposed to be. You know about the job decision you made. You know about the place where you're going to live, who you're going to marry. I'm going to tell you what. Why does the world have to be just as messed up? Why does the church have to be as messed up as the world? It doesn't have to be. We've got, you know what? The thing is, what are you going to do with what I'm telling you tonight? Are you going to act on the word? Because if you're just going to speculate and say, that was pretty good. I'm glad I came, heard it. I'm glad it wasn't too long. We're fixing to close here in 10 minutes. That's not enough. That's not good enough reason to come. See, you have got to get to the place where you have problems under control. What the Bible teaches in the New Testament is this. The Bible teaches how to become a Christian. See, there's a seed that's been planted, according to 1 John chapter 3. A born-again seed's been put inside everybody's heart. Now, what are you going to do with that seed? See, there's a part that God plays. Well, what did he do? Well, he gave his only begotten son. What are you going to do? You got to believe on him. You got to believe on him. You have to, what does it mean to believe in God? To believe with action, with corrective action in your own life. If that's not the way you're believing, it isn't worth anything. I'm not here to make friends. That's not my highest ambition, that you like me. I'm here to make disciples. I'm here to call sinners unto repentance, just like my Savior. And I'm not afraid of anybody. If I had to choose between being your friend and helping you get closer to Christ and making you a disciple, the end of Matthew says, go into all the world and make disciples of all men, teaching them how to do right. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And you know what? I've been saved since I was about 19 years old. I ain't never spent a day alone without the Lord. I spent a day, days of failure, sin. That's when I found out what he meant when he said, when you stand praying, forgive. See, let me tell you something. When you forgive somebody, the Bible way, anybody wants to know the Bible way, you just come talk to me. I'll put you on some things. When you forgive somebody, you're totally forgiven. Look here. Unforgiveness in a Christian's life makes answered prayer more difficult. It doesn't work the same way. You've got to get things under control is all I'm saying. Is it too hard? It hasn't been too hard for me. I'm not the brightest light bulb in the hardware store. But you know what? It's worked for me. I've never spent one moment not wanting to be a Christian. I've spent many terrible moments in sin as a Christian. I'm trying to help you and be real with you tonight. That's the only thing that's going to help you, is people being real with you. Okay, we're going to go to, we're on five secret sins. Sinful compromise. It's the ones, you know what? Everybody look at me for a minute. I don't believe you should tell everybody everything about your life. There's so things, if there's some things that are pretty gross, keep them to yourself and get over them. Stop doing them in Jesus' name. Because unrepented secret sins, sinful compromise will hurt you. The word says this, in a great house, there's many vessels. Some vessels are vessels to honor and some to dishonor. If a person will cleanse themselves, they will be a vessel of honor that the Lord can use. Let me tell you something. When God is active in your life and you're moving and flowing with God, there's nothing like it. There's nothing better. Nothing at all. Nothing more fun. We must cleanse ourselves. Well, how? You better figure it out. Why are you doing? You know what? I don't want to hear it. I mean, I'm certainly not going to tell you mine. There's some things you can only talk to Christ about. Stop talking to people and don't do that. Be careful. Be careful with your words. Last, you have to remove negative influences from your life. Wrong kind of entertainment. I'm guilty of wanting that at times. The wrong kind of entertainment. The wrong kind of conversations. Well, you got somebody you're just roasting the fire out of and blah, blah. I'm trying not to do that. It's not easy for me to stop. It's either that or kill them. We've got to get a hold of ourselves. We've got to get a hold of ourselves. See, this wasn't a message that, this is a message of truth. You must silence negative thought, bad company. The word says not to be unequally yoked together with non-believers. That means this here. We're always thinking about marriage. I'm telling you what. Your best friend should not be an outright sinner that you share convos with. And shouldn't be that way. What are you willing to do for that cross up there to make your life better? That's what I'm asking you tonight. I want these kids right over here. If you would please come up, I'm going to serve communion. Tonight, the word was your altar. I meant everything I said, but I didn't mean it in a harmful way. I meant it in an informative way that these things really will mess your life up. Having said that, kids,